it's the same old dictator. Did I say dictator? Mahmoud Ahmadinejad stays. Did he really capture more than 60% of the vote? Lots of people say no. There have been protests in the street, but it doesn't matter. The Ayatollahs give the high sign to Ahmadinejad. Ultimately, what does this mean for the rest of the world and relations with the U.S.? Because that's what we care about, right? What are our relationships in the future going to be in the Middle East, in particular with a guy who has aspirations of nuclear weapons and is, I think, not to be trusted? In the meantime, Sikhs are challenging the army's ban on turbans and beards. It's an interesting question of rights and whether or not the army should lift that ban or not. You got to think also about where some of the people are fighting and what that might mean. In the meantime, Dick Cheney taking a few punches, this time from Leon Panetta, the head of the CIA, who thinks Cheney is almost wishing for an attack on U.S. soil. And as much as Dick Cheney has been vocal lately, and some people in the GOP think that's good, and some people in the GOP think that's bad because you're trotting out somebody who was part of a previous administration, and he's talking about all kinds of things that happened in the past and where we're going in the future. So is he a good representative for a party who has lost its way? Because really, here's the thing. You have to think of the conservative movement, and you have to think of Republicans, which can be two different things. But let's say if you're conservative and a Republican, when you look at the GOP and where the GOP is headed, the bottom line is there's all these meetings they're starting to have, not town hall meetings, but sort of listening tours. And what has to happen with the GOP, I think, and it happens, it's cyclical. Remember, the Democrats went through the same thing. They have to change the party. They have to reach out to change the party in the sense they have to reach out to younger people. So a lot of people believe that Cheney speaking anyway is not necessarily a good thing. But do you really think Dick Cheney is wishing for an attack on U.S. soil so he can say, ha ha, told you so? I'm going to say no. I'm going to actually stick up for Dick Cheney and say, as much as I'm sure, like anybody who leaves their administration and they were heavily criticized and Bush's poll numbers were down, I truly don't believe deep down that the man, as much as there were many things you could question, I don't believe that he really wants to see an attack in America anywhere. Not to say, yeah, look, this is what's happened because of Gitmo and the torture memos and all that stuff, etc. I don't think so. And I'm with him on some of that, because the whole Gitmo thing, nothing raises my hackles more than that. Okay, so we have these 240 people, and some of them are people who are linked to 9/11, but let's bring them all back to the U.S. Why? Because their countries don't want them. It's not an issue now, because that's exactly what's happening. There is no... At least at this point, there is no, except for the one, there is no, let's come back to America and try everybody right now, right this second. Of course, that changes by the hour and the week and whatever seems to be happening on this particular month. So trust me, we have our eyes on Gitmo. We're going to have Frank Gaffney back on again to talk about the terrific guest and get his thoughts as he visited Gitmo at least once a couple of years ago, but I think he's been there more than once. The big news, like I said, overseas certainly is the Iran situation. Was it a clean election or not? Doesn't matter in the sense that Ahmadinejad is the guy that's in charge, and that's the way it's going to be. But there are angry protesters in the streets in Iran right now, as actually I'm speaking, and there have been a lot of people that were hoping for a change of a regime. Tens of thousands rallied in central Tehran on Sunday, and people, of course, now are doing that on Monday. There's been an online movement to produce what's happening so people can see it, because remember, this is Iran, so a lot of things have been shut off, cut off, if you will. So social networking sites would offer something a little bit different, because it would be free and unfiltered, if you think about it, coming out of the Middle East, coming out of Iran. So that was the idea. So the protesters decided to take action, shoot the video, and send it on Twitter. And that's exactly what they're doing with all the things that have happened in the protests with, you know, there's fires, there's allegedly beatings and all this other sort of stuff. And they're putting that as they tweet to the outside world. But how does the outside world react to Ahmadinejad? I think that what the concern is, of course, the main concern is what happens in the future as far as any kind of conversations, what kind of relationships, is there going to be a relationship? And, of course, it's all about the nukes, just like it is with North Korea. Where are they going with the nukes? I said, in case you missed it in a previous hour, who is scarier when it comes to being armed or trying to be armed and ready as far as nuclear capabilities? Is it Iran or is it North Korea? North Korea has really bellied up to the bar and said that they are definitely going to have nukes, that they are definitely going to have nuclear. They're not saying the weapons. They're saying between the plutonium and the uranium, you know, you do the math. That's what you need for the atomic, right? So it's obvious that they're thumbing their nose at the world, and I think that situation is going to blow up before anything. That's the one that's the shakiest. And there are meetings scheduled with South Korea, ultimately, coming up this week. So is there more pressure put on North Korea? Well, of course there's going to be pressure, but it doesn't seem to me that North Korea is going to bend in any way, shape, or form. We will lighten the load here. Of course, we have a daily salute. That's coming up around the bend. You don't want to miss that. Now, you can throw in your two cents on the daily salute. Sometimes it's somebody famous, somebody not famous, somebody who just did something kind, was a good Samaritan, whatever. All kinds of different people get the daily salute. You might have a suggestion, somebody I don't know about, in your neighborhood. So send me the information. You can do that at americatonight.net. The Lakers end up annihilating the Magic, I guess is the way I'll say it, in this last game. And not so much annihilating, but putting them to bed early in the game, let's put it that way. It's their 15th NBA title for Kobe Bryant. He was the MVP, and it's his fourth title. In the meantime, Phil Jackson, the coach of the Lakers, picks up his 10th. So now he has the most wins in the NBA of any coach. How about that? Maybe there is something to the triangle. Maybe there is something to knowing how to coach superstar guys. Because, let's face it, he certainly had superstar players both in Chicago, or at least one or two, right? One or two famous guys, wink, wink, in Chicago and in Los Angeles. Not to take anything away from Phil Jackson, because a lot of people certainly sing his praises for what he tries to do with his guys, and 10 speaks volumes. That's an amazing amount of awards to win all those championships. Lombardi, Lombardi, Lombardi. How many times can you say that? The new Miss California speaks out. She doesn't want any controversy. She just wanted to rock the boat after what they just went through in that USA pageant with the previous Miss California, Carrie Prejean, who says they had it in for her from the start once she gave her thoughts on gay marriage to Perez Hilton, who was judging that pageant, if you remember. Hang with us. Much more to come here on America Tonight.
Now playing on WebTalkRadio.net.
Welcome to Love and Marriage Radio. I'm Mae Chambers, the mom.
And I'm Erica Chambers, the daughter.
On our show, we talk about real things that all of us do to either make or break our relationship.
So when a guy calls me high maintenance, he's not talking about my car.
Join the fun on Love and Marriage Radio.
Hey, doing all right.
Now playing on WebTalkRadio.net.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Should a sheik have to conform? And that's an interesting question. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney hanging out with you here in America tonight. Coming up, I'm going to do the Daily Salute in just a second. I promise, but and we're going to do birthdays, this day in history, and all the other fun things that we do. If you listen to this show for any length of time, you know, this is the scoop. Instead of pounding the same thing home over and over again, the deal with America tonight is it is the show for the wickedly ADD, because there is so much happening in this country, both good, bad, and everywhere in between, that it is viable to talk about, whether it's controversial, not controversial, super, super positive. We mix it all in the mixer and then serve it up, and that's the way it is. So if you ever have any suggestions, or if you ever have anything that you come across you think is newsworthy or interesting, just interesting, man, for people to talk about in America, shoot it my way at americatonight.net. Okay, here's the scoop. Imagine this is part of your life. This is part of your history, the wearing of certain religious things. It's, you know, Christians wear crosses. Jewish people wear the Star of David, etc. And there are other religions, as we know, that have things that they wear, like a turban in relationship, rather, to whatever the religious precepts are. So here's what's happened. The army, of course, they don't allow the beards, they don't allow the turban, and it's been a long-standing deal in carrying out, they call it exotic hair colors, long fingernails, even for women it would be colors of lipstick, all that other sort of stuff. So Sikh men have to give up whatever their religious displays are. Sikhs who were active duty military when the policy was adopted were allowed to continue serving without shaving their beards or removing their turbans. But now what we're saying is, what the Army is saying, that they can't, you know, they've got to sacrifice their articles of faith. And there's enough of the Sikh guys that are involved in the military, specifically in the Army, as they're saying they don't want to be able to do that. So the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, which is, of course, an advocacy group, is kind of getting involved in this. They don't know, they're not real super familiar with the policy, but they're kind of jumping in to this. So turbans and beards are a no-go, but the Sikhs, some of the Sikhs are looking to force maybe some action on this. In New York, for example, I read a story just recently that Sikh traffic officers took this to the courts to force the city to allow them to wear turbans and beards. And they didn't win, but they're hoping that they will win it in an appeal, that they'll be able to, you know, that won't disappear. So this is starting to become an issue in a couple of different places, and including in the military. But, you know, here's the bottom line. What some people are saying when you enlist, one of the things that has been said is the military needs to reflect what America is right now, is what some people are saying, that it's a diverse country. It's a country that puts forth the whole idea of religious liberty, values of liberty, and all that sort of stuff. So if you allow Sikhs to serve with a beard and a turban, it sends a strong message to the rest of the world that, you know, this is America. We're a melting pot. This is who we are. But the thing is, the military has certain dress codes anyway, right? So, you know, with the short hair and all that stuff and shaving the hair and the beard. So I think it's dicey as to what will happen in this, as to what the rules and the recruiting are. Even though this is specifically a religious issue and a heritage, and they're trying to serve and protect the places where they live, but are they willing to sacrifice their religious beliefs? Well, then this would be what it would end up to be. You can't serve in the military if you won't toe the line, if you won't do what the military wants you to do, unless it ends up becoming a court battle and they're forced to reverse the ruling. Because, like, for example, the British Army allows Sikhs to pretty much keep what they have, the turbans, etc. They can also be civilian police officers, and there's not a problem. In fact, here's an interesting thing. It sounds ridiculous, right? But the British police are pushing for the development of a bulletproof turban that would allow them to be part of the firearms units, because helmets wouldn't fit over a turban, right? And no joke, Sikhs and people, when I was telling somebody about the story today, said, well, how many Sikhs? I mean, really, come on, how many Sikhs are there anyway? But apparently, yes, there have been Sikhs that have been in the U.S. military for a long time, in World War I and II, the Korean, the Vietnam Wars, stuff in the Persian Gulf, etc. And if all these years in uniform, they want to be able to serve, and want to be able to serve with what is their religious freedom, you know, the turban and the beard. But like I said, if you look at the military and anybody, whether it's a woman, etc., it seems to me there are dress code rules anyway, so I don't know how you get around that, because that's the military, that's their code. And would a Sikh soldier be an asset to the U.S. if they're out in the military spots like Afghanistan? Maybe. I mean, maybe it actually could be a useful part of what the Army's doing. I don't know. Matt, you never served in the military, but you may have some friends who have. You know that the military has, we all know this, they have a different set of rules. They have dress codes and things that they, you know, people adhere to. It's like the don't ask, don't tell thing. There's controversy over that now, over the what you can wear and what you can't wear, right?
Yeah, definitely. I've got a couple friends, you know, people who have served in the Army, Marines, Navy, all that kind of stuff. So somewhat familiar with some of the things. And they got different rules of you know, the restrictions on their, you know, you got to have the haircut down. I don't even know what the length is, but isn't it like a
short?
You just can't have more than like 2 inches or
yeah.
even less than that, depending mm-hmm. on what your rank is, too. And I don't know, you got to have your, let's see, my friend in the Navy, he's got, what do they call that? Like your Navy, your dress blues. That's
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah, the dress blues.
That you got to wear on certain days, too. So all sorts of things of people telling you what to do.
Right, but that's the whole thing. You know, if you're serving your country and, you know, you're signing up, there are things you're going to have to do, and probably some of them you won't like, some of them you will. It depends on if you're enlisted or you're an officer going through West Point or going through wherever. And there are, you know, there's been a push, and I think that's what I'm getting at. There's been a push for people in the military to not have to conform to everything. But you talk to people who have been in the military, and especially when you're in war situations, and what they'll say is you got to know that somebody has your back, and there's so much crap to deal with that the last thing you want to deal with is a bunch of stuff about, well, okay, one guy has hair down to the floor, and he's got to put it in a ponytail, and the other person, and this sounds so simplified, which it's not, but that if there's too much of that, you can't have that taking over what's going on when you're in the middle of battle, when you're in the middle of Afghanistan, you're in the middle of Baghdad, etc. You cannot be worrying about that.
Yeah, definitely. And as soon as
that makes sense to me.
As soon as you open the door to, oh well, you don't have to really conform here, and you know we can bend the rules a little bit. Then all of a sudden it's that straight hard line routine of you always do what you're told, you follow orders,
Right.
It's pounded in your head. All of a sudden it doesn't go that way, and things don't run smoothly, and then you got problems.
Right, and that's what I think. And I know that there's people that have served in the military listening, and are we just completely all wet on this idea? When someone started to tell me about the Sikh thing, I get it. I understand it. It's like I said, you think of other religions, and whether it's a cross, Star of David, or whatever it might be. But the point is, like, it's like saying even with the turban, how do you wear you can't have the helmet on then, and that would be dangerous. So there are certain situations. Now, the British Royal Army, they managed to do it, and they don't have a problem with it. So does the military need to loosen up, or no, is this just part of what it is? And once you sign up, some things will change, but this will not change. 800-259-5791. Kate, hanging out with you here on America Tonight.
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop, thanks to NuRev. NuRev is America's number one anti-aging supplement, thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. NuRev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of NuRev for free. Just pay to have NuRev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at NuRevOnline.com. That's N-U-R-E-V Online.com. NuRevOnline.com. Improve your life today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Attention, an important product from hempusa.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
Latest row with the Sikhs and wearing of beards and the turbans, guys who say, look, I want to serve, but I've got this serious religious belief and I have this belief inside me that I need to help my country, but the idea that I can't have the turban, the beard, the things that represent what I'm about, almost eliminate me from the military. What can we do here? Because there's this policy which can kind of, you can manipulate it in kind of a couple of different directions, and we certainly know every branch of the military is different and regulations can often change, but there is a regimentation. I've had many people in my family who have served, and in discussions that I've had with them, mostly Navy, but in the discussions I've had, there are just certain things you adhere to. Can the rules be bent a little bit? Well, yeah, but over something like that, no, not usually. So that's the thing. Ultimately, does this end up in a courtroom like it did in New York? Could be. Jay is listening to us in New York. Hey, Jay.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Can you hear me okay? I'm on my cell phone.
Oh, yeah. We got you.
Okay. I was in the military, 23 years in the Army. And at one time, we had an Indian from India, obviously, in our unit, and he wore the turban and he had the beard, and we had very little problem with that. That was back in 1973.
Yeah, so why is there now it's come around in a different direction, Jay, and it's now there's controversy over this, that it's not doable, that they're talking about can't have the beard unless you're grandfathered in or whatever, and there's a problem with it. Do you think it was distracting, or did you think it took away from the unit, or was it a problem?
It was distracting. It didn't take away from the unit as far as I was concerned. We were an aviation repair unit. I also had medevac. And he was in a administrative position, so he wasn't anywhere near the flight line or anything like that where he might have got sucked in jets or anything like that. But, yeah, it was a little distracting. People really didn't understand why he got the privilege of not having to go along with everybody else.
Well, see, then that's what I was getting at. The regimentation that, okay, your hair has to be short or you can't have facial hair or whatever. So is it fair to go in the other direction? And it can open up, and this is what Matt said, it can open up the problems then for, well, why can't we do this and why can't I do this? And that's the last thing that the military really wants to deal with, especially, as you know, in the situation where it's a voluntary, at this point, military. The last thing you want to have to deal with in people that are serving one tour, two tour, et cetera, is to have to worry about that.
Now, also, of course, there's good reasoning why the military don't have facial hair.
Mm-hmm. What's the reasoning?
Okay, the reasoning there is that when you go to combat and you don your NBC gear, your nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare mop suits, they call them, they also have a protective mask or a gas mask. To get that gas mask to seal properly on your face, you can't have anything between the seal and the skin.
Mm.
Otherwise, you're going to be sucking in chemicals, and you might as well treat yourself with atropine all day long, but you're going to be dead.
Oh, yeah. And that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, the same thing with the turban and the helmet. Are we going to go out and spend another, you know, $2 billion on perfecting a turban helmet that we're going to give to the Afghans when, you know, they're fighting their wars there? And so they don't injure themselves while getting shot at. You know,
yeah, and the answer to that is no.
Probably. Well, I don't know. We have Obama in there nowadays, and he seems to lean a little bit toward the overseas nations, a little further than perhaps the U.S.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You've heard this. We're broke, right?
Well, yeah, we're broke, but, you know, where I live, we're broke, and college tuitions are going up, yet they can afford to build $1 million building. Go figure.
Yeah, go figure.
Where did this, $1 million fall out of the sky from? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're broke, but, yeah. I'm
exactly.
I'm broke, but I'm not. I actually drive taxi cab for a living.
Oh, good
and,
for you.
And I get to pay my lease to the company that I drive for, and I get to buy my own $3 gas here in this location. And after I do that, I get to keep whatever I have left. And some nights it's $9, and some nights it's $110, and some nights it's $200.
So, oh, wow.
You know, you go along with the flow there, and you you tell your tax advisor at the end of the year that you drove, X number of miles times 48 cents a mile or whatever it is. They figure it out, and they tell you that the government owes you $750 for not paying any taxes, which is okay with me.
Yeah, I got you. Where do you drive a cab?
Actually, not far from the Canadian border.
Right.
Small little town called Plattsburgh. I've heard it on here on the radio before because our friend up in Montreal calls in all the time and gives the hockey scores up there. And he listens to the radio TV stations here out of Plattsburgh and gets his information from here as well. So yeah, it's a small former Air Force base town. The Clintons shut the Air Force base down here. Mm-hmm. And the state university here, we have a community college state university campus and basically a tourist base were on the Lake Champlain and the Adirondack Mountains, about an hour from Montreal, an hour from Lake Placid.
It's beautiful,
Half hour across the lake to Burlington if you want to take the boat.
Yeah, I've been there. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. Hey, you're a great caller. Find us again and call us again.
No problem. I just had to find the phone number and dial it.
That was good. Thank you for finding the phone number and be safe out there. Thank you. Great caller in the sense that, I mean, there he was telling you that Jay served and served with somebody who was in a situation where they were allowed to dress differently. They were allowed to be a little bit different and then, you know, kind of look what can happen there. And that's the bottom line. And that's the route, and that's what the military is going to say. And then he made the other point in talking about Afghanistan and these helmets that I was mentioning. Would they approve the money for that? Can you imagine? Remember there was problems with the Kevlar vest, and I think there still are a lot of mothers and wives, et cetera, always worried about that. Do they have enough material? But there was a big problem with that originally many, many years ago. You know, I want to say 4 years ago. And you have to think of what's being spent on the wars in Iraq and what's being spent, of course, now in Afghanistan and beefing up there. And ultimately, whatever hot spot bubbles up next. You can throw in your 2 cents at 800-259-5791. Here was the most stunning thing I think I heard over the weekend is, and I guess in one sense, no, but in another sense, yes. When you have the CIA director, Leon Panetta, who said that the former VP, Dick Cheney, the criticism of the Obama administration, you know, their whole approach to terrorism, and this is a quote, he says, Cheney is wishing that this country would be attacked again in order to make his point. Panetta said that to a reporter who wrote an article in The New Yorker for an issue that's coming out. And he says, Cheney smells some blood in the water on the whole idea of national security. Well, now, if you're Panetta, your boss is Obama, you're going to back up your guy, of course. You're also the director of the CIA at a time when the CIA is getting crucified all over the place. In one sense, because Obama's your guy, but in another sense, they're throwing you under the bus for things that have happened before. But it makes sense to take swings, I guess, at Cheney. But saying that he wishes for something to happen, because Cheney has, in all fairness, said in a couple of interviews that he thinks Obama's making the U.S. less safe when he's asked specific questions about Gitmo and releasing information and other things, right? So he's been critical of Gitmo. He's been critical of the whole enhanced interrogation memo stuff and reversing some of the Bush initiatives, some of the things that they did, which Cheney said helped prevent attacks. He especially has been vocal the last month. So Panetta would come out firing. That makes sense in one way. But here's another quote from him. He says, it's almost a little bit gallows politics. When you read behind it, it's almost as if he's wishing that this country would be attacked again in order to make his point. I think that's dangerous politics. I hope that is not the motivation behind Cheney's remarks. I heard Joe Biden say, when he was asked this question, what did he think with the Cheney stuff? And he said, I learned a long time ago not to question another man's motivations. And so he shut that down right away. And I would hope that that wouldn't be Cheney's motivations, and I don't think it is. But what do you think? 800-259-5791. The Daily Salute coming up.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi, summer's coming and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you 1 dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
Fly me to the moon, let me play your let me see what spring is like on Jupiter. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me.
What a voice. Every time I hear a voice, I think, oh, can you imagine having that voice playing that jazzy stuff somewhere? She started off, I want to say, she did a bunch of clubs in Canada and whatnot. But that's Diana Krall, in case you don't know. Married to Elvis Costello, who's out touring now, I think. Well, we're not talking about Elvis Costello and Diana Krall. We're talking about the military and regulations they have and whether or not they should accommodate certain religious groups, and that might be the wave of the future. Would they bend a little bit? And then what about the rest of the people in a military unit? How are they going to feel about it? You know, it opens up that whole thing. Of course, there have been some lawsuits in other, not in the military right now in this specific thing, but it's being talked about with these sheikhs that, hey, this is what we want to serve. We want to help. We want to be part of the community. But I have got to be able to wear my turban. I've got to be able to have my beard. And otherwise, I'm enlisting, baby. I'm going to be part of this. I want to help. So these are people who, a lot of these are people who want to help, but aren't willing to toe the line in what the military standards are because of very definite religious practices that they have to honor. 800-259-5791. Graywall's listening to us in St. Louis. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine. It was wonderful to hear that on the show while I was on my way. And I just heard a comment that, you know, the turbans for the Afghans being made, like the helmets, you know, just a kind of a correction on that issue. First of all, the Sikhs and the Afghans, you're talking about two different folks.
Mm-hmm.
The Afghans do cut their hair, and so it's not a situation with them at all. So I guess Sikhs in particular, when it comes to the unshorn hair, have served with distinction with the, you know, certain Western nations. They have a tradition of, you know, a lot of bravery and sacrifice on the front lines in India for scores of, you know, years. But even the Western European nations, especially like you mentioned, Britain, 35% of their army in the Southeast Asia before India became independent was all Sikhs. And they still have held close ties with the, from that, you know, from that aspect with the Britishers and even Canadian Army, as well as, you know, some other nations have had the Sikhs as frontline soldiers. And so from the perspective of changing the dress code, well, really, I think that's a good debate to have. But the fact is that really, if you might want to invite some one of those, you know, Indian Army officers, as well as maybe somebody from England, who can probably give you first-hand information that how much or how much it does not interfere, because all the codes of army are followed by the Sikhs. Yes, when it comes to the turban and the beard, they're still allowed to have them as unshorn hair and still be able to serve on the front line. And Sikhs have served with distinction and with bravery, and they are certainly interested to serve the United States, you know,
right,
in the same spirit. And they really have been very, very nationalistic and have always been very patriotic. And whenever they have held themselves under the banner and the flag of the nation. So from that perspective, I think it's a, I'm glad that, you know, you brought up that issue with such, you know, even balance. But there were just a couple of issues I want to point out. And I would certainly think so, you know, probably inviting a, well, a guest from who actually is from the Army, not a bad idea, you know.
Sure, for somebody who's already served, and we have had lots of guests like that on, and that's not a bad idea, you're right. And then from the legal perspective, what do you do there? And, you know, I mean, bravo to anybody who wants to serve. There's no question about that. In the whole, I feel patriotic, I want to be part of the community, so listen, help me out here, what can we do? Absolutely. I mean, that's terrific from any point of view, somebody who wants to be there. From the military point of view, they like that symmetry. They like things to be in order. And the fear is of any kind of change. It was like women in the military. Oof, we can't have women in the military, and then we can't have women on the front lines and all that other sort of stuff, because here's what could happen. Can a woman carry a man who's wounded on her back all the way back to wherever behind the line, the front line? And ultimately, would a woman have the back of a man in a military situation where they were under fire? Remember, that was heavily debated. And then it's, can a person who's gay be in the military and serve? And that whole don't ask, don't tell policy, of course, was established. So I appreciate your phone call. And yes, and that's what we're talking about. What should the boundaries be, and should there be boundaries, or should some of those boundaries be blown up? Would that help the military? And I've had people on in the past to talk about the uniformity of it all, and also to talk about things that they thought were unfair, obviously. And this could be a big one, because how many people are denied, or how many people did serve, and now they're out of the military or retiring, and there wasn't a problem. I think the biggest thing would be other people saying, well, then, you know, we're individuals. Can we do what we want to do? And the answer to the military answer, of course, is yes, on your off time, when you come back, when you've served, whatever. If anybody, and I know people listening, you know what I'm talking about. In any of the branches that we've mentioned, of course, I think there are always exceptions to the rule, and obviously we've seen it. But yeah, we'll explore that a little bit more. Absolutely. You can shoot me an email, americatonight.net, americatonight.net. A couple of quick things. This is breaking news, which is what's so brilliant about our show being live. Iran is denying Hussein Mousavi permission to protest the country's election results. Remember, he was the heaviest challenger, the guy who had the best chance against Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. And we know from all the reports that Ahmadinejad got more than 60%, but the election results have been questioned by a lot of people, but that's going nowhere. Because the Ayatollahs, think about it, it's done. There's nothing that's going to happen here. There's no veil that's going to be lifted, period. But will the protests continue? How long will the protests continue? It's just been a couple of days. Will that start happening day after day after day? It could get more serious if that's the deal. They've had 3 days in a row of protests. Hey, if you notice this week heading into work, you're going to go fill up. I filled up today, actually. And thank goodness it's nowhere near the prices that we have seen at this time last year. But still, gasoline is creeping up. Gas prices up 17 cents in the last 2 weeks. The average price for a gallon of self-serve regular gasoline is $2.66. So how much are you paying when you pull up to the pumps? And the answer, of course, is always, if you have a gas guzzler, bigger car, you're going to feel it much, much more. But think about a year ago. The price is still, at least in most places, a buck, almost a buck and a half lower than what the average was last year. I mean, prices of gasoline last year, oh, it was the worst. Remember, we were getting closer and closer to $4. I had a lot of friends in, I have friends in Chicago and in Los Angeles that were telling me what they were paying, and it was awful what they paid to fill up. So you've got demand that's actually not increasing, it's shrinking. That's the interesting thing. So the reason the pump goes up is because of the increase in the price of crude. You look at the New York Mercantile Exchange every day and you'll see what I'm talking about, with crude oil itself responding to, you know, what's happened with a much weaker dollar on the possible expectation of inflation that unfortunately is not going in the right direction, rising. Yeah, that's how you get this. So is there any reason to expect that gas prices will reach the $4 levels of last summer? Boy, I sure hope not, especially for all these people who are unemployed. Trying to scratch together that money would not be fun. Thanks for listening, and remember, we do have the snail mail that I keep pushing, americatonight.net.